AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
He hasn't touched the ground.
Yeah, it's massive something for everyone over the weekend.
Where do you start?
Well, where do you start? You know, we can go through our comm games. You can look at all the medal tallies. A couple of ones that surprised me. We got smoked by Scotland in the lawn bowls. I was a bit disappointed with that. Yeah, and also I suppose today in the way of Commonwealth games, we're going to get to the Titans and the Suns very, very shortly. But the transgender 90-kilo weightlifter in the females division is going to have the controversy. It's going to have a lot of people in talk today about Lauren Hubbard, who competed as a male for 35 years in professional weightlifting and now has ticked off all the boxes and can go now and got the right testosterone levels to go and weightlift for the girls.
Yeah, but it's not right. It's not right. Like, we were talking about it a moment ago with our mates from down the corridor. Apparently, is this right? I don't understand it. I don't know enough about it. But if she still has 10%, didn't he say,
testosterone against
the woman
levels.
Who's got three?
Yeah, women can only get to three, and Lauren's still got 10.
Well, how's that three times
as much. But still, you got to think of this transgender thing. If you compete as a male, you know, like, your body's everything's different. And I know you can go through, you know, the tablets and the hormone changes, but I still don't agree with it.
No. Look, it's remember the whole Caster Semenya thing? And she carried the flag for her country last week. However, it's just such a fine line because, of course, you know, on a personal side of things, you can do whatever you want. This is not us being ethical or moral or anything like that. This is about an unfair advantage coming in.
When it's Commonwealth Games and world titles, you've competed in before as a male. That's what I don't get.
It'd be like you coming in to play AFL Women's all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's not unfair. But if you come to take me on in a modelling competition, it's okay. As a woman.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I can dress up all right. Well, watch this space in the 90 kilos division, the weightlifting today.
Yeah, you'd probably be watching a lot more than space.
Well, we know what you like to watch.
Well, I don't
say
know.
Say it.
As she had,
say
I don't
it.
Know.
The two words you've been saying for now.
The male genitalia.
You keep on thinking you're seeing a lot of it during the games.
I did. I'm going to show you. Anyway, Titans. The Titans are 3-2 for the season. Magnificent win yesterday. Yeah. We were watching that football. They're going to go down to Manly. And what was a good sign about this was the fact that the Titans, Manly got a good run on towards the end of the game, but the Titans held strong, which was fantastic at the back end of the game. A lot of controversy at the moment around Wayne Bennett. He's just absolutely copping it from everyone. And Nathan Brown, the boss of the Newcastle Knights, where, you know, Wayne spent many of years, come out swinging the other day.
What do you think about that comment, though? It was definitely what was below the belt.
Yeah, it was below the belt, but, you know, there is a lot of contro at the moment with surrounding Wayne Bennett, so watch his space. And also in the AFL, the Gold Coast Suns, you know, they're going okay. They unfortunately had a loss, but they're still in the top eight. But you love this one, Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's a new big AFL fan? Melissa Etheridge.
Is she?
And she's declared she wants to do only one thing.
What?
Play at the AFL Grand Final.
No way.
Yep.
Do you know what? Lionel would have spoken to her at Blues Fest and said, I did it years ago.
So,
are you kidding?
No, it looks she loves the game. She's hooked on the game and she's told the AFL, if there's any chance and you want somebody to perform at the AFL Grand Final, I'd love to do it.
You're kidding me.
I wouldn't lie to you. So
did she see a game?
Yeah, she goes to a couple of games.
Wow. I love her even more.
She'd go right in the 90 kilogram tonight too, Melissa. Don't worry about that.
Oh, Adrian.
No, she's built solid.
A tough, solid girl.
She gets that guitar and rips into it. On that note, we'll continue on.
I have some big news.
I'm an overweight middle-aged man.
Welcome to Jumanji.
It's a great way to open the show.
And the media, look at all those people back there.
We have more wealth than most Australians, that is true.
Live from Gold 92.5's breakfast table, it's Bridges Feed.
23 past 6.
Look, there's so many amazing festivals on. This is like...
Yep.
It's like a What's On gig guide, really, for What's On the Coast. And these are the events the locals should get amongst because they are free. And I tell you what, over the weekend, Busby Maru went off at the Broadbeach Queensland Music Stage. That was awesome. But if you're looking for some action today on a Monday at the Broadbeach Queensland Music Stage, you've got Mal Power, Morton and Aquila Young from 7 p.m. at the Surfers Paradise Main Stage. How good is this? It's called Sparkle in the Sand.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Camille, our producer, was saying if you go to the Star around the Garden Bar.
Yep.
And they have little pop-up tiki stalls and markets and everything's on and it's been pumping down there and you all get wristbands. And when an Aussie wins, the wristband glows and goes off.
Yeah, it changes colour.
How cool is that? Gold.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Now, there are a couple of, there's also that one just up the road from Carrara. So we saw how many people went to the Athletics yesterday. There's a food vending place at, I think it's RDK Sports or RV Day Sports, just about 100 metres up on Carrara.
Like, oh, good.
About 30 food vans there if you are going around that area. It looks awesome.
I think we really need to look after. That's what we found out in the first week, is that we really need to look after the locals, right? So, but speaking of all things Commonwealth Games, Prince Charles, he's been doing the tour, especially
in
Queensland, and he was up north. Now, the story behind this lady is that 40 years ago, this is going to make Prince Charles feel old. Mm. You know, like when people come up to us and say, oh, my grandma loves listening to you guys.
Yeah, awesome.
Anyway, so this lady, and she met Prince Charles 40 years ago. She turned up with a little flower in her hair and with the thing cut out of the paper of her from 40 years ago meeting Prince Charles. There was a photo of her.
Yeah, brilliant.
And so she turned up to get another kiss off him. And this is how it all unfolded.
He remembered that a little girl kissed him 40 years ago. I wagged school to do it and I really did have to go to the principal's office. I was 14 then, I'm 54 now.
Well, you're
and I'm honoured.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Thank you, my darling. Thank you so much.
You're shaking.
I know, I'm a nervous wreck. And that's his hand and his cheek now I've kissed. Imagine in another 40 years what I'll get to kiss then. Wow. Oh, that's heaven.
She serious?
I think in another 40 years, it's not going to be royal protocol.
Oh.
You're running out of things to kiss.
Won't you please, please help me?
Hey, Herb, is that a rod in your pocket? Or you're just happy to see us?
Help me,
Herb.
Oh, Herb, he joins us every Friday after six with his fish and tips.
Yeah.
Then on a Monday with Help Me Herb, he joined us at Gold FM Live on Friday night. So much fun, Herb.
Joined us for half of it.
Well, join us for half of it. That's another
story. Yeah, it was really good. Anyway. I had a good night.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad, darling. Yeah. We won't get into that part.
No, we'll worry about Help Me Herb right now. We have got emails. You can write to Help Me Herb. All you have to do is go to the website, goldfm.com.au, click on the Help Me Herb, and we've received an email.
Yeah, maybe Herb needed help on Saturday night. That's all we're saying. No. All right. So Joanne in Labrador, she sent through an email saying, please, Herb, can you help me? It's the second week of school holidays. I'm short of money. How can I entertain my three kids for free?
Oh,
that's terrible, isn't it? Look at the kids these days. You know, when I was a young bloke, I never got taken anywhere. I never got money to go anywhere.
No.
We had no malls. We did nothing. All we did was run out, kick the footy. We play a bit of hockey. Bit of cricket, I used to ride my bike down the surf, whatever. But you know what I did when I was a young bloke to keep me occupied? The cheapest sport going around, it's in the Olympic Games, is lawn bowls.
Oh, okay.
For $1, you can roll up, they give you a set of bowls, every club's accommodating to any members that want to, or unmembers that want to come in and have a game of bowls. I played at Musgrave for about 6 years. And it was the best fun I've ever had. Go there with all the old boys on the stabby, they'd tell you stories about World War II and all this sort of stuff. It was really good. It was a good listen, and it's a good game, and it's cheap.
And they only charge $1. The other one, Herb, and I like that because lawn bowls is good fun. A lot of people sit there and go, you go there and you can, and when you're getting the timing of the ball, and you're right, when you go to lawn bowls, a lot of people want to help you as well. They'll give you advice.
Oh, yeah, big time. And it is a great game. Once you put down one good bowl, you're hooked.
Yeah, you're right.
All you need to do is work your weight, work your grass. You know, you've got to draw the bowl into the kitty. You've got to get a jack high, maybe a little tucker on the side, you know what I'm saying? But it's a game that everyone can play, from 5-year-old right through to 95-year-old, you know what I mean? And it's one of those games where I think you challenge yourself to get better and better and better and better and better. And for $1, where can you go anywhere nowadays for $1 and play a sport for 2 hours?
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know it was $1. Look at that. That's cheaper than time zone or something.
You're making sense.
It's not probably the best helmet I've ever done, I reckon. Take your kids down the bowling green, let them bowl. You can go in, have a couple of skis.
Oh, there we go.
Take them out.
Right. Now I see the connection.
Okay,
now I see the connection. Righto.
Walk the kids down to the bowl and then walk them down to the bowl and yeah. Let them throw the bowls around for an hour and a half. Happy hour,
yeah, make sure you go happy hour 3 to 5.
Thank you, Herbert. Thank you.
Really interesting how things unfold in a 24 hour, not even that period. Yesterday we went down to Sanctuary Cove and AJ, your mate was playing down there.
Russell
Morris.
Come and see the real thing.
Come and see the real thing.
Well, we did. We went down there and saw the real thing, and it was fantastic. It was packed down there. And anyway, I get a phone call from the security company that we're on and said, are you down at the Cove? And I said, yes. And they said, oh, there's an Uber driver here with your keys. And I was like, I haven't lost any keys, but on Saturday night I was in an Uber. So I thought, okay, I better go and check. Yeah. Obviously, it could be mine or Herb's keys. So yeah. Went down and saw this guy and he goes, no. I said, I wasn't even in your Uber. I don't even know who you are. He goes, yes, you were. He goes, these are your keys. And I'm thinking someone's taken the mickey out of me. And I said, no, they're not mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked at the keys. I said, nah, sorry, they're not my keys. Didn't think anything of it. Went back to the table with Adrian and explained what had happened. You know, this Uber guy come up and said, you know, I've got these keys that are yours and I've never seen these keys before. So didn't think much of it.
Mm.
Until the breakfast table this morning.
Mm.
What happened at the breakfast table, Adrian?
Well, I was late getting here. I was half an hour late because I woke up this morning and realised that I'd misplaced my keys. And then I got to work and we were discussing the fact that I had left my keys in an Uber with a good fellow called Hamid, which you were on Saturday night, but that's another story. Hamid very kindly left the keys at the gate at the Sanctuary Cove gated area. So it turns out that the story that Peter had had no relation to him, but it was related to me because I left my keys.
Confused.
I left my keys in the Uber.
The both of you two.
How do I get confused for AJ?
I mean, it must
this
be.
This is the issue.
Must be the same judge that's letting this chick do the weightlifting.
How
can they confuse the two of
and
you?
And he showed me the keys and he said, no, they're yours. I just dropped you off. And I said, I've never been in your Uber.
That is weird.
But I told Adrian at the pub, he didn't even think, oh, I might even just check my keys.
How did you even leave your place without knowing your keys? And you turned up to Gold FM Live, which we'll talk about that later. Incredible night. And you left all your tickets at home.
I don't know. It must have had something to do with concerts. I don't know. I left my tickets to the Gold FM Live at home. I forgot them.
Yes.
Luckily, Brody had a little spare pair there for me to get
and
into
me,
the
thank God for
and you did too, yes. Thank you, Bridge. And then I left my keys in the Uber yesterday when I went to see Russell Morris over at the gated area
now,
with Peter.
It's not old. It's not age.
It is an age because we know that your daughter is your karma.
I know.
Your daughter. And how frustrating is it for you when you see your daughter do it?
Oh, God. Poor old Amelia. She's got no hope. sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
A lot going on, of course, at the moment in the swimming.
That's right. With the Campbell sisters, and it's always focused on Kate. And, I mean, what a drama for Kate last night in the time trials for the 100 free. That she was so upset that she raced so fast, she now had to do a drug test that night. I mean, what, you know.
Yeah.
So here she is having a little tandy in the water and her sister's like, oh, I'm second. So when her sister was interviewed, and it was a little bit tough for Bronte, and the interview, it was tough for him too because he was just trying to say, how does it feel to be the sister that comes second more than first?
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
There we go. And Bronte handled it very well and said, well, if I was going to be second to anyone, I'd want it to be my sister.
Yeah, she handled it very well.
She
but
really
you must
did.
Be, you'd be shattered. You'd sit there and go, you know what, I just want to, even if you smoked her at backstroke and not freestyle, just something. But she always just that half a length behind her.
And how do the parents handle it? Do they give Bronte more attention because of that? Because they feel so a little bit. I mean, they're both champions. I think there's nothing wrong with it. But when it comes to just the normal family dynamic, there's always either that sibling rivalry or someone in the family always does better than you. Like my sisters were great at tennis.
Yeah.
I played for a bit, but I was nothing like my mum and my sisters. They were awesome at it.
Every time. Every time. Because, you know, when we got our school report.
Oh.
You know, it would be all written down, so you have to get handed over to mum.
Yes.
And she'd go, oh, let me read this. And my sister would be, oh, look at this, and I got an A here, and I got an A for that.
Uh-oh.
And I'd be, oh, I'm just going out to kick the footy, mum. No, you come here. My sisters, every time, just smoke me on the...
But then Andreas, your brother who played footy,
yep.
He always had the name to live up to, right?
Yeah, it was always hard for him because, but then they always thought, was he going to be a bit of a rat bag like me? He was totally different. So when they said, oh, you're nothing like your brother.
Yeah.
So the Zibbery, families are growing up. Gary Ablett's the same. Gary Ablett had the same name as his dad.
Mm.
And he could play with that. But his brother had the Ablett name and really struggled.
Oh. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So we want to know on 13, 27, 10, sibling rivalry in your family.
Yeah, if it was a backyard cricket, it might have been on the computer games. Could be anything.
I used to get in trouble all the time because I'd win the Easter – well, not all the time, but I'd do well in the Easter egg painting competition we'd have.
See?
Because I could paint, but some of my sisters couldn't. And they always came to hear, she'll win again. She'll win again.
Hey, we'll attach some a great prize to this. Disney's Aladdin musical.
Oh, wow.
We've got tickets to it for you cool. and a friend to see Aladdin live at QPAC. Don't miss it. Book now at QPAC for Aladdin, the musical from Disney.
Siblings, the rivalry in your household against your brothers and sisters, it is always good. Yeah, there's a top level, but I reckon they still have a crack at each other for a bit of fun as well. Rob McLeod, any controversy with your siblings?
Oh, look, plenty. I had a younger brother and still have a younger brother, Richard, who's, when it came to races of the big wheels and the trike, if he got up, oh, look, there was hell to pay. There was the D-cell battery rolling competition, which ended tragically when I was a little bit late on the release and it went through the family portrait. And the water skiing with the TV Week pin-up of the band where you tear the...
What?
You tear the pin up in half, stick it on your feet, and get dragged around the lounge room in a race.
Yes.
And that ended when the colour from the pin up went through the carpet.
Oh,
so plenty of rivalry there. It ended badly when my Batmobile got stuck in the vice, got squashed. Richard was not happy.
All of those should be events at the Commonwealth Games.
Exactly.
Vanessa in hell as well. Sibling rivalry. Tell us about yours.
Oh, it was my sister.
Oh, here we
it
go.
Well, I thought I was the better goal shooter, but she obviously thought she was the best goal shooter. But, my parents, they would never tell us who was the better one, of course. So we had to try to prove it out on court.
But even now, surely you'd go back and say, Mum, who was the better goal shooter? We need to find out for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, look, and I'm definitely the better daughter as well.
Yeah.
But Vanessa, it was netball and that gets scrappy at the best of times, let alone with some rivalry. Was it on? Did it get scrappy?
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you can't, as long as it's not seen by the ref, of course. But
I love netball. Thanks, Vanessa.
Glenda and Hope Island, sibling rivalry. What's your story?
I just remember when we were at high school, I had two older siblings, and particularly my brother went through first, and whenever it came to meeting any new teachers, it was always, oh, are you Sav's little sister? So I always felt that competition with him, but probably not on the best of terms.
Oh,
yeah.
So he was naughty.
He was a bit naughty, I think.
Yeah, that's like Hastings High where we went. They had 20 years of the Everetts.
Oh,
20 years.
Yeah.
Because by the time my elder sister started and my younger brother went through, it was 20 years of high school.
Yeah,
of the
that's
Everetts.
True, actually. Yeah. And the dailies had to be the same. Yeah. Oh, my God. Thanks, Glenda.
And the Wiz.
No worries.
The Wiz. How are you?
Hey, how are we today, guys? Beautiful.
Hello,
day.
Anthony.
The Gold Coast.
Yeah.
All right, Wiz. Now, we know you've got a twin sister.
Yes. Now, Mary and me, we used to go life-saving that all the time, right, and used to go swimming and win all these flags and medals. But when we used to come home with our flags and that, you'd notice that the twos or the ones would be changing to a three or a two or the one into two, see? And I would have number one, I would win. And then she would turn around and change it and say to Mum, look, Mum, I won. And she put a number one on hers and not a two.
Oh,
rascal.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spray, hitting the important and not so important issues.
If you're an interior designer, an architect, this is Spray's coming towards you. People that own these restaurants, bars, clubs and pubs, something that really frustrates me. I'm talking about toilet symbols. Trying to go to the toilet these days. No, don't laugh. I'm being serious. I've had an absolute gutful going to different places over the Gold Coast. At one place, there's surfboards saying if it's a males or females. You've got a stubby or a cocktail glass in certain parts. You've got roosters or cats. You've got clouds with rain either going straight down or in like a rainbow fashion. You've got one with a Taj Mahal or two Taj Mahals. You've got a cartoon character. You've got Roger Rabbit or Jessica Rabbit. You've got cylinders and pistons. You've got bananas and a peach. All we want, if they're not unisex, why can't pubs, clubs and bars and restaurants just to have a basic M for male, F for female? I'm sick of walking into the wrong toilets.
So what you're saying is you have ended up in a female loo.
Too often.
You've been sprayed by spider.
That's more scarier for the women than you, mate. Oh.
Puts a whole new meaning to that. You've been sprayed by a spider.
You know, there's some more animals than humans in my house. So I have a cat. She's very cool. She has no fear. Samara. And then I have two dogs, Ted the Maltese Shih Tzu and Jemima the Pugalia. Now, friends of mine and family know that if they get a nice big howl, an excited howl, they're it. Because they're a very good judge of character, my dogs.
Yeah.
So, I do judge people on how they react to my dogs.
How does this...
I'm coming to you, brother. Don't you worry. So, my dogs normally, like, if I have a sister come over, they start howling and I go, yep, you know, that's good. And so, on Friday, AJ, Peter had to come over to... It actually worked out well. I've got an old Victor lawnmower. I didn't even think it was working anymore. And that's why Johnny Boy, my neighbour, has been doing my yard. But you got it started. You needed a lawnmower.
It needed some TLC and I gave it to it and got it going because I needed a lawnmower to do my lawns over the weekend.
And it was
mine
the old
was in
Victor.
Getting serviced.
Yeah, the old. It's like a Hilux. You can't kill the old Victors. So anyway, I'm waiting for it. Peter, he's so tall, his head's over the fence.
Morning.
Morning. And I'm waiting for the dogs. I'm waiting for the dogs to give me something. Normally they go mental. And this. Nothing. Well, maybe they haven't heard him. Then I'll just lock the dogs inside. Hang on a minute, mate. So then he comes in the gate and I'm like, maybe they haven't heard that Peter's here. So comes in the gate. Dogs. Nothing.
You're saying that's good?
That's bad.
What do you mean?
Not a sound.
What do you mean?
They're scared of you. They don't like you, brother.
What?
Well, you got priors with my dogs.
Oh,
now, this is what AJ, the first time that Peter met Ted. Ted went to jump on his lap and Peter blocked him with his arm. He did a whole circle in the air and landed on his back.
Peter.
No, well.
Second time.
It was a natural reaction. When a dog goes to jump on me, I just put my forearm out. Unfortunately, yes, the dog hit the forearm.
There was contact.
And
it not funny.
No, it's not funny. It did not land in the pike position. We are talking games.
Second time.
Yeah.
He comes over, Peter. Tells both of them to F off, F off, F off, F off. Imagine if I did that when Boston comes in for a cuddle. F off, leave your son. Anyway, my dog's got him back here, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, this is her dogs come in here one day.
Yeah. Well, I had to go to the vet straight afterwards.
And did a number two all in the studio. And you wonder why we don't get along.
They've never done it in front of anyone else.
They did it all the way up the highway. All the way up the hallway. They're six deep at one stage.
They look at you and they go, you're the biggest turd I know. I'm going to try and take you off my own. I need you over my house more often, actually. I've never heard the dog so quiet in my life.
Saturday night, we had a good crowd for Gold FM Live at the Star, where we had an amalgam of people like the Chanteuses. Weren't the Chanteuses fantastic?
Amazing.
They're in great shape, the girls.
Oh, Ali and Eve.
Wow.
Incredible.
My Sex, Ross Wilson, 1927, Real Life, John Swan, your mate John Swan, Swanee, Wendy Matthews, and, of course, our old mate Mark Abel from the Choir Boys.
Mark Abel is honestly.
Yeah, he's
even
great.
Everyone
he just
says
keeps giving.
That, you know, if that's him sober for so many years, imagine in his heyday.
Oh, God.
He is. John Swan and I had an amazing moment together backstage. That sounds wrong.
Yeah, it does.
No, but it was. We had a really nice hug and he says, it's amazing how much you miss things, just like a good hug.
Yeah.
He's a lovely man. But tell you what, everyone was saying that no one has lost their voice.
No.
From Mark Gable to Wendy Matthews, everyone sung so amazingly, and I love the way the star put together the mosh pit at the front.
Yeah.
Everyone just came down and boogie. Dance.
They can. And, you know, the other thing I liked is the fact that, you know, all these artists, they were happy to meet and greet. They're happy to talk to all the punters. Darren Curtis come back and wanted to meet the Shantuzis, which was fantastic. And they were all able to. So, you know, and then it was interesting because I was talking to a few of the Gold FM listeners beforehand. And, you know, because a lot of people grew up on this music.
Oh, they came in with their singles.
The records.
The records. They came in with their T-shirts of 1927. It was amazing they got them signed.
Yeah, so I actually went around and asked, what music did they actually grow up on? For me, it was Elvis and Engelbert. That's what my old man used to listen to the whole time.
Mine was with Dad. It was with Mum, it was Charlie Pride, and with Dad, it was Herman's Hermits and the Beach Boys.
This
Here
is
we
embarrassing.
Go.
Here we go. Go, give it to us. Oh. What music did you grow up with, Adrian? And I'm going to get a bit of it off.
I know. I bet it's going to be that that Tijuana band guy. What's his name?
It's older than that. The Tommy Dorsey Orchestra.
Who?
The Tommy Dorsey Orchestra.
We're going to find some of that. But I asked some of the great Gold FM listeners who they grew up with.
Mine was Banana Mascara, aka known as Nana Muscuri, and The Shadows.
Running Bear, Jade Hurley.
Anyone I can think of is Neil Diamond.
I actually grew up listening to Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple. Older brothers.
So we want to know, 13, 27, 10, what music did you grow up with? What music did your parents always play on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon?
Well, they commanded the radio in the car too. You couldn't touch it. You just had to listen to what they loved.
Dad used to listen to Al Jolson Bridge.
Al Jolson.
Can I do it?
Go.
Mac.
Was that you were going to do?
Wow. Oh, so much. But one really embarrassing one that stands out is Demis Roussos.
Yes, my friend the wind.
The Golden Greek.
Yeah.
Do you remember Bert Newton used to do him as a character?
He did, yeah. He did.
Oh, gosh, he did, didn't he?
Yes. That's funny. There's a memory for you, Lisa. Sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa.
I can't unimagine that now.
I know.
That's my day.
See you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Karen at Southport, which music of your parents did you grow up on?
Oh, hi, AJ. Okay, so it was Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yes.
And, my dad was that.
Yeah, and a bit of Bing Crosby as well.
Bing Crosby.
Yeah. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
And he did one with David Bowie. Did you know that?
He did,
It's fair. I can't
remember which one, but yeah.
No, that's Bill Cosby.
Do you remember Al Jolson too, Karen?
No, vaguely.
We don't
vaguely,
need to go there.
You know, from a long time ago.
Bridge freaks out when I talk about Al Jolson.
And Peter just thought you were talking about Bill Cosby. That's why he went into his Fat Albert routine.
Different
to Bill Crosby.
Yeah. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Completely different sports.
Wow.
Adrian at Gilston, your parents were listening to what when you grew up?
They were listening to mostly the Bee Gees, Creedence, and Neil Diamond, and also because my father was in the Air Force, he used to like listening to a lot of that marching music, but I never took that one on board.
Yeah, funny that. Good for you.
Later on, I had the influence of the Eagles, so I stuck with the Eagles.
Beautiful. Yeah, I bet. Talking about pretty much after Gold FM Live on Saturday night, what bands and music did you grow up with? What were you influenced? I was, you know, my dad loved Engelbert and Elvis.
Beach Boys, just Beach Boys. With Dad being a surfer, it was just constant Beach Boys. I love the Beach Boys, though. And Herman's Hermits. You know Herman's Hermits.
What was yours?
Tijuana?
Tell us
one more. What was that?
I'm not allowed to say Al Jolson.
No, you can say that bit. No, what was the other one? You know, it was the Tijuana Brass people.
Yeah, who was the band?
Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Is that what you grew up with? Thank you, everyone, to Gold FM who came out on Saturday night. It was huge.
It was amazing.
It was fantastic.
Who was your favourite?
My favourite always is Mark Gable. I think he does a great show.
Mine was Swanee. I didn't know you did a Johnny Cash version of if I Was a Carpenter, which is my favourite Johnny Cash song.
Okay, yeah. Yours? I loved it. I'm Ross Wilson, fantastic. You know, when he plays Eagle Rock and Come See the Boy from Mondo Rock Days, and the Shantuzies were fantastic.
And we did get a cameo from AJ as well.
Who did
a bit of Barry White, boo, 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 and the band played along to him in the background.
Yeah, the drummer played along to the boo, 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 boo. This lady on the telephone after winning gold for Australia in quite an emotional event in the 58-kilogram class at the weightlifting. We're talking Tia Claire Toomey. Congratulations. Of course, we're talking to the World CrossFit female champion as well, Peter.
I know, and Tia, congratulations on your gold medal. I'm sure you've done a lot of interviews since, but AJ has not stopped talking about you. We know you're married, but your new crush is AJ. Yeah. Everything surrounds you.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, the concentration on your face, as AJ was saying, when it's the only time he's ever texted us, either, was about you. And the concentration on your face during the performance is, there was no way anyone else was going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely very, it was a very emotional and crazy experience. But I tell you what, that competition, my competitors, they put up such a fight, and it truly was a highlight of my career and will be for as long as I can remember. So, I was just so amazed to be a part of it.
And watching it as well was unbelievable because, you know, the commentators, have you watched it back yet? Because they're actually talking that, you know, CrossFitters weren't really that used to the proper action.
Oh.
And a few of them got disqualified.
Really?
But that last one, not getting disqualified and being able to nail it, was unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's always a relief to get through it.
Hey, listen, you went through a stage there in the snatch of 87 kilograms. That was your PB. What was your PB before the 87 in the snatch?
So that was actually only a platform PB. Prior to that, I think it was 85. But I have done at the CrossFit Games 92 kilos. So
that is just ridiculous. And you're 58 kilos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the clean and jerk, Tia lifted 114 kilograms.
With the,
what?
Yeah, Tia, with the gold medal, you know, does it open doors? Is it given like the key to the city? Can you do as you want? Is it a bit more easier to get into places now?
Well, right now, actually, I'm just spending a little bit of time with family, but I can guarantee you, like, that gold medal means so much to not only myself, my family, my friends, but I've definitely and hopefully have done Australia proud and you know, represented them to the best of my ability. So, you know, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm definitely, like, sure that it will be something that, you know, the whole of Australia can really share with me.
Well, Tia, you weren't only doing it for yourself. When we had you on the radio last week, you were speaking that you were also doing it for your cousin who unfortunately lost her life at 17. Did you go out there feeling her presence, feeling that you were doing this, winning this medal for your cousin as well?
Oh, of course. You know, she was definitely there with me, she hasn't left our hearts or our minds at all since it's happened. So it's a very tragic event, and it was definitely for her, that's for sure.
All right, Tia, we know you've got a busy day today, and you've got a tough day today as well. We will warn you, though, apparently you're out on a cruise on a boat on Thursday, and Spider Everett from the show will be on the boat.
Oh.
So we just warn you.
Well.
Hey.
Okay.
Nothing to be scared of. Seriously, nothing to be scared of. As long as their Forex will be sweet.
Tia, Claire Toomey, you're an amazing person. Congratulations.
Yes. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate being on the show, and appreciate your support.
58 kilos, lifting 114.
Yeah.
I was in hospital for 2 weeks lifting a broom.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, that is an amazing effort. What an incredible woman.
The Gold Coast is divided on the Commonwealth Games, it's fair to say. There are a lot of businesses that are suffering at the moment. I was talking to people last week that are saying 50% down on takings right through from Easter through to now. On the other side, Mark Peters, we've got him on the telephone right now, the Games boss. He is supporting it all the way through, of course, as you would expect. And these are the reasons why he's saying it's been successful.
The greatest benefit out of the Games being here is if we're going to end up 1.2 million people in, you know, 30 years' time, we have to get people using public transport. Yeah. So in this period here, so the reason you put it in the school hallways, it takes about 23% of the traffic off the road anyway, and there's about 30% of discretionary travel. We can work out when we go to the shopping centre and all that. And we've had nearly $300 million spent by the state government and the city on upgrades of our different roads. Like, you know, everyone that's ever gone down Ross Street roundabout, it's just a dream now, which is hard to say about traffic.
Yeah.
And Bundle Road with six lanes and the extension of light rail. And it's just, you know, great cred to the people of the Gold Coast. They're actually using public transport, and that's why it's working so well.
What about, very quickly then, what's your highlight so far?
There's so many of them, but I was up sitting next to the Duchess of Cornwall at the cycling, and she is a lovely lady. She's been bagged, and I think that's pretty unfair.
Really?
in some areas of the media. She is just a very, very nice person. Anna Mears and I were with her, and so seeing the cycling as well as sitting next to the Justice, the speed of the track is just unbelievable. Mm. World records are hard to come by, but my highlight is, and this is not being corny, is actually going around talking to the volunteers. And I do that at every venue I get to. I haven't got to enough of them yet. But the volunteers, some of them are standing out there in the sun, you know, directing people.
That's
with
right.
A smile and singing and happy. And that's what everyone remembers about. That's who we are on the Gold Coast. And that is going to be the great fillip into the future. It's all about tourism at the end of the day. And absolutely, 10 out of 10 to the volunteers.
Mark Peters, the comm boss, the Commonwealth Games boss.
It's hard because talking to a lot of people on the weekend,
yeah,
it's a very hard call because we know around 7 mil was spent on telling people to stay away, the roads are going to be busy. Now, everyone has heeded warnings. They've stayed away, but unfortunately for small businesses now because of that, they're quiet.
But are they quiet? This is what I don't get, because there's Koi is saying no, they're having a cracking time during the games. Swannies in Southport are having a good time as well. But then you've got the food trucks just outside of Carrara, and they're saying they're getting absolutely no one there at KDV Sports Centre. And Fellini's in Marina Mirage saying there's no one. So it's really divided.
Yeah, and I know, well, the southern end's it is quite busy and it's going off. But we do want to know if you are a business and maybe people don't know you're open and you'd like us to give you a bit of a plug, call us up, and your very good friends, AJ Bridge and Spider, will help you out, because it's just tough. We have listened to the warnings and the roads are quite eerily quiet, and now businesses are struggling. It's gone too far the other way.
Or are you a business and you are pumping?
Mm. Give us a call,
132710. We check it out for today, so have a great day. And still call us, because we'd love to hear from you, 132710.
Yes.
It's day 5 today. If you're off to an event, enjoy yourself. Have a wonderful Commonwealth Games today.
And we're going to Al, who I will give all my votes to.
Three votes.
Best on ground.
Three
at
votes.
The star at Gold FM Live. Incredible job he did. He was... I don't know what time he got home, but very, very late.
About the same amount of votes he got. Three.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.